Good morning.
Good morning.
Open your Bibles to John chapter 3 this morning. We'll be continuing in our sermon series, Grasping God's Generosity. And today, I want to speak on a message, God loves me. God loves us all unconditionally.
Amen.
God's love never ends. No matter where you're at in your life today, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gotten away from God, God still loves you.
Amen.
You cannot change that fact. God loves everyone, no matter where they're at. God even loves the lost man.
Amen.
I want you to know God even is in love with that lost soul out there that needs redemption. He sent His Son to die for them so that they might have eternal life.
Amen.
That's how much God loved them. Anna wrote this letter to her friend. I wish I could say that I believe in Jesus Christ, that He loves me and cares about me, but I no longer believe that. From a mother who is vicious and has wrecked my adopted family to the death of my adopted brother, I no longer believe. I even find myself wondering if God really exists. I look around at all the Christians who say they help people who don't know how to ask for it, but they haven't even noticed my pain. If God loved and cared for me, He'd at least help, wouldn't He? But no one has come. Why? God doesn't love me. This woman felt that God did not love her because of the tragedy that had been in her life. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. God loves you no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing in life, God is still in love with you.
Amen.
Poor Anna. Through her life experiences, she had decided to reject God. She wonders if He's for real. And if He is, she wonders if He really loves her. Unfortunately, Anna is not alone in the world today. Many people wonder if God really cares about them. Many people going through tragedy. Many people facing death. Many people that are facing the loss of a loved one are concerned that God does not love them. They really think that God has abandoned them. They really think that God does not have any concern for them. Today, I have no doubt that some of you can relate to Anna and her struggle. And for you, it might look like you are away from God and you don't feel the love God has for you. Many of us are facing struggles in our life. Many of us are facing battles in our life. Many of us are facing things that we don't understand. But I want you to know that God still loves you. John chapter 3, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 14 through 17. John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this word You've given me today. We thank You, Lord, for the message, Lord, that You've given me to bring to Your people, to show them how much God really loves them, to explain in a simple way that God, though we may sin, though we may get away from You, You still love us. And we thank You for that. We thank You for that unconditional love that You showed on Calvary. We thank You for going to the cross for us. We thank You for dying for us. And we thank You for the time that You will come to get us and take us home to be with You. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
I want to bring out some things in the message today that you might have never thought about, but I know God loves me because He made me. I know God loves me because He took the time to make me out of dirt. Think about that. God could have been self-sufficient. God could have existed throughout time all alone. He is self-sufficient. He does not need anyone. He does not need me. He does not need you. He does not need humanity whatsoever. He does not even need the animals that are out in the fields. He does not need anything. God is self-sufficient, self-sustaining, and He does not need any of us. But yet, He chose to make me. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and loving towards all He has made. God made you and He made me, and He made us to love us. He made us because He chose to. God doesn't play any favorites with His people. There is no respecter of person with God. Amen. God loves you if you're a sinner. God loves you if you're a Christian. God loves you regardless of where you're at today. God has never made a person He didn't love. The very fact that God created you is evidence that He loves you. As parents feel for the children, God feels the same for those who fear Him and love Him. He knows us inside and out, keeps in mind that we're made of mud. It doesn't say that God is a judge, a policeman, a drill sergeant, or a boss. It says that God is like a perfect parent. He cares for each one of us. He cares so deeply that He sent His Son to die for us. He cared so deeply that Jesus went to the cross and gave His life for us. Listen, my friend, He made you perfectly. You may not be the prettiest person on the planet. You may not have the perfect body, but God loves you just the way you are. Amen. God loves you just the way you are. He made each one of us individually, and He loves us just the way we are. We were created to have family relationship, not a religion, but a relationship. How many of you really thought before you had kids that your kids were going to be perfect? We all had a rude awakening, didn't we, when our kids were born. They were not perfect. They may have not looked perfect. All of their fingers and toes might have not been there, but they were still the way God made them. Listen very carefully, my friend. He already knew every stupid question you'd ever ask. He already knew every dumb thing you'd do, every hurtful thing you would ever do to someone, every hateful thing, and He still made you perfectly. We make kids as parents because we love them. Kids are messy. Babies burp and mess their pants. They drool and they break things. When they get older, they take our money. They use our cars. They smash them. They get in trouble, but we still love them. Why is that? Are we crazy? No, we're simply parents. Our love never changes for our children. Listen, your child may get away from you. Your child may go out and get in drugs. Your child may stray away from the family. But you can never change that relationship between a parent and a child. And they always love them. I love my daughters. My two daughters, I love them. I love my six grandkids. But I would do anything I can to make that relationship stronger with them and get them closer to me in a relationship. Why? Because I'm their parent. Because I love them. I sent my daughter a text last night. She's at the lake. She stays at the lake most of the summer when she's not working. But let me tell you something. I sent her a text last night and I said, "Baby, I love you." I love you so much. You know what she sent back? I love you too, Dad. I love you too, Dad. That means something to me.
Amen.
That means something to me. I wanted her to know that I loved her. I loved her unconditionally. My children are not perfect. I taught them their whole life the dangers and that it was unbiblical to get tattoos. Let me tell you something. They still got tattoos. I taught them not to smoke. I taught them the dangers of smoking. I taught them that God said if you harm this mortal body, God will destroy this mortal body. Listen, they smoke. Does that change my love for them? No. I still love them. I still love them unconditionally. I still love them perfectly because I'm their parent. Listen, my friend. We love God because God made us. I know God loves me secondly because He notices every detail of my life. Do you realize that God knows every detail of your life? God knows you intimately. Listen, Jesus said, by the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do you realize that Jesus knows every hair of your head? Now, some of us don't have as much hair as we used to, but God still knows every hair of our head.
Amen.
God knows us perfectly, inside and out. God is interested in every detail of your life. He loves you completely and is interested in every part of your life. I used to think God was only interested in me when I went to church or when I read my Bible or when I did something spiritual. But I found out God is intimately interested in every detail of my life. He's interested in me when I'm happy. He's interested in me when I'm sad. He's interested when I make a mistake and when I fail to make worship to Him. He's interested when I succeed and He's interested when I don't exceed. He's interested in me when I'm down, depressed and discouraged. He's interested in me when I'm happy and motivated. Amen. God is always interested in every detail of my life. Listen, because He always cares about every detail of my life. Some of you are going through a tough time right now. Whatever that tough time is, no matter what you're going through, God is actually aware of it. He cares about that financial problem you're going through, that physical burden, that mental problem, that social problem, that problem at work, that problem in your marriage, that problem at your job. He cares, and He's aware because He loves you. God loves you so much, He's concerned about every area of your life. He knows every detail. He's God. He knows everything. But we cannot ever stray so far from God that He's not concerned about us. He's concerned about us through everything. Thirdly, I know God loves me because He gave me the capacity for pleasure. And this is something that I know that not many of us think about. God gave us a set of eyes when He made you. Then He filled the world with color. Why? Did God fill the world with color? For our pleasure. Why did He give us the ability with these eyes to see so many colors? For our pleasure. Listen, we can see every tiny detail, every color of everything perfectly, the way God made it. Why is that? Because God wanted us to have pleasure. Listen. God made this beautiful world with crayons and vistas and sunrises and sunset. What's the purpose for it all? God created it for your pleasure. He created you with the capacity for pleasure. God gave you a pair of ears. And then He created a world full of many different kinds of sounds that are pleasing to the ear. You know what's the greatest joy I get to hear as a pastor, the laugh of a child, of a baby. There's nothing sweeter than hearing a baby laugh. I've got a grandchild right now. Well, actually, a great-grandchild. A great-grandchild. And I like to be around that because she laughs and she laughs and she laughs and she laughs. There's nothing sweeter than a baby laughing. God gave us the ability to hear even the slightest noise. God gave us the ability to hear a bird singing in the trees. God gave us the ability to hear a dog barking. God gave us the ability to hear our mate speaking to us. Think about that. We have definitely a unique body because God gave us all these abilities for our pleasure. He gave us all of these sounds and an ability to hear everything that's in the world just because He wanted us to have pleasure. God even created in you taste buds, and then He filled the world full of flavor. Listen, cinnamon rolls, salsa, barbecue ribs, homemade ice cream. Why did God give you taste buds? Because He wanted you to have pleasure of tasting things. Think about that. If you didn't have taste buds, it would be the most miserable time eating stuff. Everything would taste bland, wouldn't it? But God gave you taste buds so you could taste things. The worst thing for me, getting COVID, when I have COVID. Now, it doesn't affect me any way at all. It doesn't affect my lungs. It doesn't affect my breathing. It doesn't affect anything about me. I never run a fever. I never have any symptoms of having COVID when I get COVID. But you know the one thing that I cannot do when I have COVID? I cannot taste one of the things that I love to taste the most. Chocolate. I cannot taste chocolate when I have COVID. I can taste everything else. But I can't taste chocolate. The one thing that I love to taste the most, I can't taste chocolate. But God gave us taste buds so we could taste everything. Listen, He could have said human beings are going to run on oatmeal, but He didn't. He created you with taste buds, and He gave you all these flavors to taste. Why? Just because He enjoys watching you enjoy life. Paul said this, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." God gives us all things. Why? To enjoy them. God gave us sight so we could see all the colors of the rainbow. God gave us ears so we could hear every sound in the world. A baby crying, a baby laughing, and all the joys that we get from hearing things. Listen, God gave us a nose to smell. You know what's one of the greatest smells that I have ever smelled? And I love to smell it. That's honeysuckles. I love to smell a honeysuckle. That's one of the greatest. I think they ought to make the world smell like honeysuckle because I love that smell. If I could capture that in a bottle, I'd carry it under my nose all the time because I love that smell. But God gave us a nose so we could smell. Listen, God gave us a nose so we would understand the difference in if something was good or something was bad. Listen, when a skunk goes by, you wish you didn't have a nose, don't you?
Right.
But when you get in a bed of roses, you're glad you got a nose. Because that sweet smell gets in your throat and in your nose. Listen, God cares about you. God gave you the capacity for pleasure. This verse we just read explodes with one of our greatest myths about Christianity. I've heard this 1,000 times. If I commit my life to Jesus Christ, life is going to be miserable. I'm going to lose all my fun. It's going to be boring. Boring if I really live for God. The fact is, Satan has told us the lie that good means to be boring. Listen, the Christian life does not have to be boring. The Christian life does not have to be a time that we do not have fun. God wants us to have fun. God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to experience life to the fullest. Listen, God does not want the Christian life to be boring, but many Christians think that. Many Christians, because they believe Satan and his lies that Christianity is boring. Many people are looking for fun in all the wrong places. Listen, I consider the most miserable place in the world to be a singles bar, they say. All these people pretending that they're happy and they're miserable. Where else in society do you walk up to a total stranger and offer to buy something? Hey, could I buy you a drink? Suppose you're in Sears. Could I buy you a toaster? Care for a refrigerator? I don't know what fun was until I discovered the reason God made me and began living the plan He had for me. And since then, life has been enjoyable. The Bible says, when you get into God's plan for your life, then life makes perfect sense. Then you stop looking for cheap thrills to turn you on. You know what? I can take all the drugs I want to take. I can drink all that I want to drink. I can mess around immorally all that I want to. I can mess around. I can lie and cheat all I want. But there's a big difference once I discover the love of God. While I can do all these things I just listed, if I want to, when I become a Christian, Jesus changes my want-tos. I don't want to do these things. They're cheap thrills. They're plastic, artificial sweeteners, and they don't last. Did you know that Jesus spoke more about happiness than He did about heaven? Do you know that Jesus spoke more about happiness than He did heaven? He wanted His people to be happy. He wanted His people to enjoy life. He wanted people to experience life to the fullest. He loves us, so He creates us with the capacity for pleasure. Fourthly, if I know God loves me because He sent Christ to die for me. This is the ultimate proof of God's love. God had a purpose and a plan. John said this, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up His life for us, so we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Paul said, but God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Christ died for us. That's the ultimate reason we know God loves us, that Christ would give His life. Christ loves us. He cares about us. And the ultimate proof is that He died for us. I don't know how many people you know would die for you. I don't know many people who would die for me. The Bible says that even while we didn't even know God, while we rejected God, God had sent His Son to pay the penalty of our sin. All these things I've done wrong, God says they've already been paid for. When we get to heaven and you stand before God and He says, why should I let you in? Why should I let you into heaven? Are you going to say, I lived a perfect life. I lived according to your plan. I lived the righteous life. Are you going to say, I put my trust in Jesus to get me in? What are you going to say? Listen, all of our works All that we could do, all the money we could give, everything we could do for the church, everything we could do for somebody else, is not going to make any difference when we get to heaven. The only thing that's going to get us into heaven is I know Jesus as my personal Savior. I know Him intimately. God loves us and He cares for us. And lastly, I know God loves me because He forgives me when I ask Him. I've discovered that the number one reason people don't get to know God is guilt. The guilt they feel of being a sinner. Do you remember when you were in school? You didn't like to get to know people you didn't think would like you, so you stayed away from those people. A lot of people stay away from God because they think God doesn't like them because they feel guilty. Maybe you felt that. Maybe you felt, I can't have a relationship with God because of all the things I've done wrong. I'm happy to tell you that you're wrong. For everyone has sinned. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. We've all fallen short of God's glory. For everyone has sinned. Yet God, with undeserving kindness, declares that we're righteous if we give our heart to Jesus. He did this through Jesus Christ when He freed us from the penalty from our sin. What's been keeping you from a close relationship with God? Some of you have been close to God in the past, but you've drifted away. Maybe you don't feel close to God anymore. Maybe you're asking, with all the things I've done wrong, what's God going to say to me? Jesus told the story one time about the prodigal son. A man had a son and gave him, because he asked him, to give him all of his inheritance. What did he do with inheritance? He went out and wasted it. Did that change the man's love for him? No, he still loved him when he was out wasting all of his things. When he was out in the pig pen, he still loved him. When he was out living with harlots, he still loved him. When he returned, he still loved him. When he came back, he still loved him and showered him with gifts. What's this a picture of? Let me tell you what's this a picture of. This is a picture of no matter how far you get from God, God still loves you. No matter where you are in life, God loves you. No matter what you're going through, God still loves you. In fact, my prayer for you is the same as Paul's, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice the four words that describe God's love. How wide it is, how long it is, how high it is, and how deep it is. Listen, what does that mean to you and I? God's love is wide enough to include everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. God loves you. God's love is long enough to last forever. The problem with human love is it dies out. God's love never ends. God's love is long enough and deep enough to run forever. God's love never ends. Listen, God's love never ends. God's love is high enough to be everywhere. You'll never go anywhere that God's love doesn't go with you. You'll never travel so far to be separated from His love if you accept it. You'll never get deep enough to meet your needs, no matter how far in the pain and the suffering you go. When you're in deep despair, God's love goes deeper. Some of you are in the pits right now. You're in a financial pit. Some of you may be in an emotional pit. You may be in a relational pit. Some of you may be waiting for test results to come back. Some of you may be scared to death you're going to go bankrupt. Some of you may be fighting in your home right now. You need God's love through Christ in your life. You can make a difference. In conclusion, if we're going to go home this afternoon and say to your wife, I love you so much. I love you with all my heart. I want to do everything I can to make your life pleasant and happy and fulfilled. I love you more than anything in the world. Wouldn't you think it would be weird if your wife said something like this? Oh, really? That's nice. We treat God that way sometimes. God loves us with an everlasting love, with an unconditional love, and we say, I don't feel God's love. I don't feel God's love. I don't feel God's love. Listen, when I lost my wife, for a second I thought, God, where are you? Where are you in all this? We've been praying and praying and praying for Terry to be healed, and you let her die. I thought that for about a second, and then I realized that God still had a plan for me.
Amen. Amen.
God still had a plan and a purpose for my life, even Amen. Though Terry was no longer with me. God still had a purpose and a plan. And I didn't dwell on the fact that God had taken Terry. I dwelt on the fact that God took Terry to heaven, where he is, and that where she is at peace now, where she is no longer having problems breathing, where she is out of pain, where she's out of suffering, and she's at home with the Lord.
Amen.
That's what I have to focus on. I don't focus on her being gone. I focus on where she is.
Amen. Amen.
That's what we all have to do. Listen, God's love never ends. God's love never wavers. God's love never is exhausted. Listen, a lot of people treat God's love the way that we treat God sometimes. They come to church on Sunday and hear you matter to God. God loves you. He cares about you. He has a plan for your life. And they walk out of here saying, that's nice. Really? Sorry, I've got my own plans. And they will miss the very reason they were made, so they miss the purpose of God. Listen, you're not here by accident today. Years before you were ever even born, God knew that you would be here today, sitting on that seat so that you could get your attention and Him say, I love you. I sent Jesus to die for you, and I want you to know I love you, I love you, I love you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're facing, I sent my son Jesus to die for you. I have a plan for your life, and if you'll just let me into your life and be the director of your life, things are going to be much and make much more sense. I want to have a relationship with you. What are you going to do in response to God's love today? Are you going to take it and use it to build a relationship with other people? Are you going to take God's love and share it with the world? Listen, my friend, God's love is unconditional. God wants you to know that He loves you regardless of where you've been, what you're going through, what you're facing in life, anything that you're facing, God still loves you.
Amen.
God wants you to know that this morning. God wants you to know that you can't do anything to change that fact. Listen, we get into sin. We stray away from God and we think we're going to change God's opinion of us. God's opinion of us never changes. He knows us intimately.
Right.
He knew we were going to sin before we ever sinned.
Right.
He knew we were going to make a mistake before we ever made the mistake we made. He knew everything about us from the very beginning of time before he ever made us. But I want to tell you something. When he sent Jesus into the world, he knew that he would send his son so that you might have a relationship with him and so that you might have all of your sins washed away. All of your failures washed away. All of your chaos washed away. Listen, God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. As we read in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, amen, that those who ever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, my friend, God sent his son so that you might have a relationship with him. You may be carefree. You may not think God loves you. You may not think God cares about you. But I want you to know this morning that God cares deeply about you. God cares deeply about what you're going through. God cares deeply about what you're facing in life. God cares about everything about your life. What did we read at the very beginning of this message? God knows every hair of our head. What does that mean? God knows us intimately. He knows everything about us. And he knows everything we think, everything we say, everything we do. But he still loves us.
Yeah.
How many people could you say that about today? Your close friends? Do they still love you when you treat them bad? Most people don't. Most people get angry. They don't love you. God's love never changes. God loves you even though you disappoint him. God loves you even though you betray him. God loves you even though you don't serve him. God still loves you. His love never changes. His love is unconditional. God loves you the way that you are not capable of understanding. God's love is so deep. God's love is so wide. God's love is so tall and covers so many people that we can't even understand it. God's love is unconditional. God loves every one of us. God so loved the world. You think about that. God so loved the world. He didn't say God so loved the Jews. He didn't say God so loved the Christians. He didn't say God so loved the Muslims. He didn't say God so loved the Mormons. He didn't say God so loved the Methodists. God so loved the Baptists. He didn't say God so loved the Jehovah's Witness. God so loved the Pentecostals. God said, I love the world. I love everyone. No matter where they're at. No matter if they don't even believe in me, I still love them. No matter if they don't ever concern themselves with me, I still love them. What did we read? While we were yet sinners, God loved us. God loves and God loves because God is love.
Amen.
God cannot do anything but love because God is love. I want you to remember that today when you leave this place. I want you to remember how much God loves you. I want you to remember that you can't change God's love. But I also want you to remember that God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to have a strong relationship with you. God wants you to serve him. God wants you to come to church and hear his word. God wants you to be a part of the fellowship of this church. God wants you to have everything in this life for your pleasure. As we've read and as we've studied, God gave you eyes so that you could have pleasure. God gave you a nose so that you could have pleasure. God gave you ears so that you could have pleasure. God gave you taste buds so that you could have pleasure. God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to have a full life. God wants you to have a life full of joy and peace. But many of us refuse to know that. Many of us refuse to accept that. God loves you unconditionally. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross to save us from our sins. And we thank you, Lord, most of all, for the love that you showed us. Lord, even as we were out in the world going away from you, you showed your love by sending your Son to die for us. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for the unconditional love that you've shown to the world, even though they reject you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us all, regardless of our faults, our failures, our mistakes, and anything we've done in life. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to serve you and giving us the Spirit to guide us and to lead us into righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. Amen.